Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Urban Meyer is giving Tim Tebow a shot. What if he comes out and he actually starts balling out?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bomani Jones, what is your two cents on the subject of Tebow getting a shot?
I just thought it was really stupid of Meyer.
The Rich Eisen Show.
This dude couldn't play when he was playing.
Earlier on the show, Chiefs general manager Brett Veach. Coming up, ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins, us from All Elite Wrestling, Chris Jericho, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Part of my two-a-day, I'll be conducting the next 2 hours of the show as expertly as I can, and then I will be making my way to SoFi Stadium in Hollywood Park for the second time in 2 months. Last time was for my Run Rich Run. As a matter of fact, it might be close to the 1 month. Anniversary of the date where I did run up there.
Oh, how you feeling about that?
I can't wait to get back there because I can't wait to call up my office. It's my home office. They built a set right on the field.
That's awesome.
And so it's me and Mooch and Kurt and Irv, the Game Day Morning Gang, back together for all 17 regular season games for all 32 teams, the 2021 NFL schedule release show tonight at 8 Eastern time on NFL Network. And I cannot wait to tell you everything you already know and everything that has already been leaked. And I just hope there's a crumb left. I hope there's like week 14 late window on Fox. At least there's one thing left that Bleacher Report hasn't already tweeted out. Oh, they're going to get a phone call. Somebody in the Bleacher Report front office is going to get a phone call. I'll say that right now.
So I've seen
Brett Veach on an hour. I don't want to know it. Don't talk about it.
Gonna,
I don't even know if it's accurate or not.
No, I'm
but
spinning this
Brett
in a
Veach,
direction.
You heard Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, on saying he knows the schedule. And he said that it comes with like 30 warnings about penalties if you leak it. Yeah. If you leak it. And a lot of people already know it because ESPN2 knows it as well because they're putting together a show tonight also. Our whole crew knows it. Because they're putting together all the graphics. You know, it is not easy to put a show like this together. But at any rate, I'm very excited about it at 8 Eastern time tonight. And we'll be all over it on NFL Network best we can. I told you so. It was going to be Cowboys versus Bucks
for sure.
To kick it all off. Didn't know what they would put on Sunday night. But again, SoFi Stadium was supposed to be front and center last year, along with also the Vegas stadium last year, but we all know the pandemic put the big celebrations of the openings of that stadium aside. So Sunday Night Football, NBC will start kicking the tires on SoFi in the Super Bowl year for NBC and SoFi Stadium in Hollywood Park. And then the Raiders will host the Ravens on Monday Night Football on ESPN, which has flex scheduling supposedly after week 12 of this year. So from weeks 13 through 18, got to get used to saying that, in the NFL, weeks 13, I guess, through 17, because there won't be a week 18 Monday Night Football game.
Right.
ESPN and ABC will have the ability 12 days in advance to call up the NFL and say, that Monday Night game doesn't look so good anymore. We want this one from Sunday. And everybody who has tickets for a Monday Night game, don't show up. Because the stadium will be empty. Go show up on the Sunday, get flexed into.
I mean, I think for a television product, that's a great idea.
It is. And I'm sure ESPN is happy about it, and I'm sure the NFL is happy about it too, because people get to see it, and I assume that that cost them maybe an extra silver pass or two.
Probably.
Whatever it costs to put together Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Epcot, we'll take the cost of that.
Something.
So,
Mickey.
Good times. Good times, everybody. So, let's talk a little association here, because Kendrick Perkins is going to join us shortly.
Let's do it.
And
you watched the game last night?
Of course I did. Of course I watched the Lakers and the Knicks. And Julius Randle is so fun to watch. And
so fun.
After, you know, my anger subsided, I'm not a very get-off-my-lawn type guy, but seeing the Knicks in their home whites on the home floor of the Lakers, it just pisses me off. It's just like, come on. What are we doing? No, you just scrunched your nose.
I'm agreeing with you.
And I know that the Lakers, they're the ones who choose what uniforms, and the Knicks got to match. But put the Lakers in their gold and put the Knicks in their road blues. And, you know, there is something to nostalgia, people. And the people who get into the nostalgia are the ones who are going to buy the jerseys for the kids that you want us to buy. That's my missive to the swoosh friends of mine up there in Oregon.
That's a great point. All
right. Just because my kid might sit there and go, oh, Dad, I love that third, fourth alternate jersey so much. And I will turn to my son or daughter and say, what else do you want? Because I'm not doing it.
So you wouldn't buy the jersey?
No, I would not. Because it pisses me off. I know when I'm being managed and sold something. Okay. I don't like it.
Well, that's every time a commercial comes on, right?
I know, and I could be manipulated in a way to buy something, but not when it offends my sensibilities and sense of history.
Sorry, Rich Eisen.
Come on, man. Like, we could talk about, we could go way back. You know, Bernard King didn't wear the home white number 30 in the old Forum. Come on now. Julius Randle wearing the home white Nick 30. But that was an old school game last night.
Yeah,
that was an old school game where we're playing defense. You have the two best teams in the NBA in defense. You saw the graphic last night that they've given up the Lakers have given up the second fewest points per game in the league, and the Knicks are tops in that regard. Coach Thibodeau is Mr. Defense. You know, Frank Vogel brought a certain sensibility on the defensive side of the ball that Anthony Davis is playing. All these guys are playing. It goes into overtime as the Knicks blew a lead late. Lakers win with mere ticks to go. And it was a big game for the Lakers. LeBron was there in his skivvies. Anthony Davis and LeBron are giving Spike the business. And that's old school. I like it. And the Lakers toughening themselves up for what's to come. And what appears to be coming for the Los Angeles Lakers is a Warriors team in a 7-8 play-in game. Now, the Blazers have a difficult stretch over the next three games left. They finish up at Utah, at Phoenix, home for Denver, while the Lakers tonight get LeBron back against Houston, which has got the U-Haul backed up, at Indiana and at New Orleans, which doesn't have Zion and is about to be eliminated from the play-in tournament. They're 2.5 out. No Ingram either. I mean, that's done for New Orleans. Yeah, so it looks like the Blazers have winnable have a tougher schedule than the Lakers. So it would behoove the Lakers to get the hell out of that 7 spot, and it would behoove the Blazers and Mavericks to keep winning. Because who wants a piece of the Golden State Warriors? I will answer that question like a Harbaugh. Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody.
And the answer is obvious the way Steph Curry's playing. He didn't come up with a 50-piece last night, but he did what he had to do. And then he's doing his Curry thing, which you've heard all the statistics that he's shooting his best beyond the three-point arc when he's dribbling 10 times or more before shooting. That's a stupid stat.
For lots of different reasons.
Like, he's worse when he's catching and shooting. Yeah. He's better when he's getting himself in a rhythm and getting you having your ankles broken.
Yeah.
He is just amazing. He is amazing. He is my MVP. And I know
I agree,
the
man.
Joker is getting all, he hasn't missed a game. And the Nuggets have not had, they've not been fork stuck because they lost Jamal Murray, right? That's the, am I not wrong? That's the sense of why Jokic is getting the love for MVP.
He's having a great
year. Having a great year, statistically a great year.
But statistically, it's the same year that James Harden puts up every year.
But here's the but it's not just statistically a great year. And the Nuggets, though, did not get fork stuck when they lost Jamal Murray. Right. And the Joker has taken the mantle. They've got that kid Porter Jr., right, who's also doing very well?
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm not taking anything, and that's the problem with an MVP conversation, is you're taking something away from somebody else, or you're, at least you're seeming to be. Don't forget, the Warriors were supposed to be fork stuck when Klay Thompson's Achilles blew up. Don't forget, the number two overall pick in the draft in James Wiseman, he had much of a nothing burger. Certainly when you're comparing him to the rookie seasons of the guy chosen before him and after him. They got a kind of like a big nothing from their second overall selection.
He was a contributor, but he got injured, and obviously
he's not Anthony Edwards. He's the, when you draft somebody second overall, yeah, you want to get a LaMelo Ball or an Anthony Edwards type contribution. That's what we thought we were going to get, right?
True.
And then Curry was coming off of an injury-marred season himself. The Warriors felt fork stuck from tip this year. They are now four games over 500. They are now the team you don't want to face in the playoffs. And if you don't think they're feeling it, did you hear what Draymond Green said last night after they beat the Suns?
I did not.
Okay. Now, let me just give you a quick history lesson here, because I kind of remember it, but the 2006-2007 Golden State Warriors team was called the We Believe team.
Yeah.
Okay. The We Believe team, Don Nelson got them to the playoffs. They actually won as an 8 seed, right? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
They hadn't been in the to the playoffs since, let me get this right, a 13-year hiatus. They got in it. Okay.
That was the Baron Davis dunk on Kirilenko, if you remember
that. Yep, sure was.
So because the Warriors were not expected to do what they're doing right now, somebody actually asked Draymond Green if this was the We Believe 2.0 team. Mm-hmm. Here's his response.
The We Believe 2.0. What is your response to that when you hear it?
I love the We Believe team. You know, Matt B, Stack Jack, BD, all those guys. But they had their thing and we got ours. You know, the We Believe days are over. We won three championships. I'm not part of no We Believe team. And like I said, that's no disrespect to the OGs that came before me. I love those guys, and what they started here is incredible. Jay Rich, Saginaw's finest. You know, no disrespect to them at all, because what they did was incredible. But no, we're not no We Believe 2.0. We got f-ing Steph Curry on our team.
We've got effing Steph Curry on our team.
Man, that should be a t-shirt.
I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah, he does. And don't forget, there are some championship hearts and minds on this team. Hearts of Lions, that's one of them. The coach is another. And they have effing Steph Curry on this team. We Believe my ass.
That's awesome.
I heard that and I'm like, okay, they are salty and ready.
Yeah.
Here we go. Everybody hold on to the family jewels because Draymond's coming into the playoffs feeling it. I'm telling you, you don't want a piece of this team. Now, I will just say this before we'll take a break and get Kendrick Perkins. Do you think the NBA deep down is like, that play-in tournament? Nah.
Oh. Yeah, the chance.
You the
chance
want
that LeBron is out.
And you want
Steph
in.
You want them
and
both
you want
in.
Him coming in.
Yeah.
And you want him focusing on the Jazz and the Suns. Not the Grizzlies and the Spurs. Like, it kind of hit me. Like,
oh, yeah.
And we've been talking up this play-in tournament.
But
you really want them focusing on each other for right. one game and then exactly. taking on the Spurs and the Grizzlies? Or do you just want to say, let's go?
Right.
7-2, 8-1. And then I'll just say this. If the Spurs are the 8 seed, which it looks like they could be the 7, but if they are the 8 seed and they hear more of this We Believe 2.0, and you could be just like that team that won as an 8 seed, you know, and actually avenge the We Believe team that got bounced by the Utah Jazz. You could do it against the current iteration of the Jazz, We Believe 2.0. And all the media's trying to draw these storylines. And if I'm the Jazz, I'm like, no, don't say that.
Yeah.
No.
We don't need those
problems. No. Yeah, they'll talk the Warriors up. These are champions coming in.
Yeah. Don't put that on Bobby.
All of a sudden, the Jazz are like puffing their chests out all year. Like, yeah, we're the Jazz. We're the one seeds. And then suddenly they'll be talking up that 8 seed. Oh, let's forget who they are. Draymond just reminded everybody. I love that soundbite, man.
How's it going?
Let's take a break. Kendrick Perkins next on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll hit him up on all of these subjects. And Urban Meyer on Tim Tebow. That's still to come this hour.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
First up, celebrity true or false with Boban. True or false, you eat soup every single day. Is that true?
Yes, true.
Why is that?
Yeah, because it's a big deal in my country, soup. And we eat soup every time. This is like when you're growing up, you say, hey, first you start your meal with the soup, and after that you can eat whatever you like.
Okay.
It's not, basically, it's like how we do. Like, when you eat soup, like, basically, you feel like you're healthy because, like, a little bit fuller stomach.
Oh, sure.
And, like, not hungry too much.
So do you, at some point during the day, oh, you know what, I haven't eaten soup yet. I need to have my
yes.
soup. You have had that.
Yes.
Okay, what is your favorite soup?
Buttermilk squash, chicken noodle soup, tomato soup, mushroom soup, everything, like.
Okay. Have you thought about making your own line of soup? Boban soup.
Boban soup. You know, like, this is a good idea. I would think about that.
Here, let's pound that out.
I would think about
that. Pound that out. Very good.
I would think about it.
Next one for Boban. Celebrity true or false with Boban.
False.
You do not like, you do not like cake. You do not like cake.
No cakes. Not big fan.
Why? What's wrong
no
with cakes?
No cakes. I like small desserts. Like, if I eat something, I will eat, like, something, like, really, like, to enjoy, because small desserts.
Did you get, they're all small.
Yeah, they're all small, too. Yeah, everything.
So if I have you over for dinner, soup, Nutella crepe.
Yes.
Okay, that's the...
They're easy.
That's a combination.
Easy.
That's very simple.
This is like a couple bucks, nothing more, nothing too much.
Last one for you, Boban. True or false, you love to shake hands. Is that true?
But, like, to be honest, people more like to shake my hands than like to shake. You know, every time, okay. every time, when somebody come to me, like, I just come from the restroom, I wash my hands, I ready to eat food.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like walking like this, I hope somebody not shake my hands. And that time, like, somebody comes, hey, how are you? And I was like, how are you?
That's when you go with the fist pound, right there.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Good stuff from Boban back in the day, man. I love that guy.
He's the tallest person you've ever met, right?
I don't know. Is he taller than Kareem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think
he's taller than Shaq.
I think Bobby officially got measured at 7'4 last year.
Yeah, 7'4.
All right, this is Kendrick Perkins, first time calling into the show.
First time.
Let's get him.
We are efforting.
Kendrick okay, very good. So. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here, people. Look at that. I mean, look at the size of my fist. and its relation to his fist right there. I mean, that's insanity.
It's like that old picture of Andre the Giant, him holding a can of beer, and it looks like a toy. Like
yeah,
it's
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cans, you're like, no, right. That's a real can of beer. That's what Boban's hands are like.
Right.
Giant of a man.
Well, Chris Jericho will be calling in hour number three. Always fun talking to Chris.
Jericho's amazing.
He is great.
Got thrown off a cage the other day.
Oh,
what?
I'll have to talk to him about that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Keep me honest here because I can't see on the board here if Kendrick Perkins is on the line. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris Jericho coming up in hour number three. How confident are you in the Clippers? They've kind of been under the radar screen
and
here.
I love it.
So I know you love it.
Well, I'm saying I love the under the radar because, you know, everyone loved to clown on Paul George after what happened in the bubble last year. And
Pandemic P.
Yeah, playoff P. And then, you know, when
Pandemic
he had
Pandemic
a few bad games throughout the year. But
he's been terrific
Paul
this year,
George
though.
Has balled out this season and no one's talking about it, and which is fine. Like, let us float under that radar. I like that team, man. I think they're really strong. And, you know, again, going back to the end of last season, as a Clipper fan, you can never let your expectations get too out of hand.
Well, here's the thing: is just don't go up 3-1,
bro, man. I'm telling you,
you know,
yeah,
just don't do that.
But you just
go up 3-0.
3-0.
Yes.
And then what? Sweep them or just go 2-0 and then let them get
a
game?
No. Like you're eventually going to have to, in order to get to 4, you've got to count to 3. You know,
Good point. Good point.
But it looks like, you know, if you do get locked into the 3 spot, you'll take on the Mavs or the Blazers or maybe even the Lakers. Oh, baby. Wow. That'll be something. I enjoy his work immensely on ESPN, and I don't think we've ever met. So this is the first time I have a chance to say hello to Kendrick Perkins, longtime NBA player and now great analyst on The Jump and so much more on ESPN. How are you doing, Kendrick?
Rich, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on here, Kendrick. So let's get into it. I saw your tweet last night about how you were enjoying the old school nature of the Knicks and the Lakers. We don't usually see type of play like that anymore in the NBA. Certainly not this year. Let's put it that way, right?
And we're talking about two teams that are two of the best defensive teams in the NBA, and when you look at it, they hang their hats on that. That was one of those games where we enjoyed it, right? Like, you enjoyed every minute of the competition, guys guarding each other, sprinting back on defense. And look, this is why we should all be applauding the NBA for adding in the play-in tournament, because no way in hell would we have seen a game like this if the play-in tournament wasn't in existence, right? This late into it was that old school, get it in the trenches, no easy layups, no easy shots, everything was contested. That's how the game's supposed to be played, Rich.
Now, I like what you just said, Kendrick, because just in the previous segment, we went to break before, you know, calling you up about how I'm wondering if the NBA would lament the fact that they do have a play-in tournament as much as we've been talking about it and can't wait for it. That, you know, you don't want you'll take the Lakers and the Warriors in right now, right, as opposed to run the risk of losing Curry or LeBron from the Western Conference playoffs. But you're saying that if the Lakers didn't have a reason 8 games over .500 to play a game like that last night, and that the play-in tournament would have been that, we wouldn't have seen last night's game. Essentially,
yeah, exactly, and that goes around the entire NBA, like. You're looking forward to watching games tonight that we probably would have never looked forward to watching, like the Hawks and Wizards. Both of those teams are playing for. That's the thing that you like. And also, throughout the whole NBA thing about the play-in tournament is that it holds teams, players, organizations accountable for the regular season and not to take it for granted. And look, I'm a firm believer of this, okay? Every action has a reaction. So it started with the load management, in my opinion. Guys start load managing. Guys not really performing like they should. Guys doing things to that nature, not showing up to games where fans pay their hard-earned money. So guess what? The NBA say, okay, y'all want to take the regular season for granted? Let's throw in the play-in. That means every regular season game means something if you're trying to accomplish a goal.
Kendrick Perkins of ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who's your MVP?
So right now my MVP, and it changed because I was originally going with CP3, okay? But Phoenix has had a drop-off, and it's been fluctuating, all right? And so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now that you have to give it to Jokic. You have to give it to Jokic. You have to have Jamal Murray and the numbers that he's putting up, them both because of his performances. I would have to go with Big Jokic down there in Denver. Like Greg Popovich would say, the modern-day Larry Bird.
Well, the issue for me on that, Kendrick, is that we really weren't talking about him for it until Jamal Murray went down. And, you know, I know he's played every game this year, and I know his statistics have been remarkable, and the Nuggets are still a championship threat. But I don't know if I wouldn't give it to Curry, because if we're going to say to Jokic that he's done what he's done and avoided his team getting the fork stuck in him by an injury bug, then we should afford the same thing to Curry with Klay Thompson, even though that didn't happen during the season.
Yeah, you know? But we can't give – not at the eighth seed, though. We're talking about – like, you can't give a guy the MVP. And, look, I'm all in for Curry. I think he must see TV. Don't get me wrong. He's having an exceptional year. But we can't reward Curry, and they're being an 8 seed, and they possibly could be a 9 seed. If that's the case, we could reward Russell Westbrook.
Who's your MVP in the East, then?
My MVP in the East is Joel Embiid. I mean, I know he missed, 19 to 20 games, but what he's been doing for us, putting up 30 points, 10 rebounds, and shoot 50% from the field, he has arguably been the best player in the Eastern Conference. And that's saying a lot when you have over there in the East. By the way, Philly is sitting at the number one spot. And there's no is look, every single night, people knows that the ball is going through Joel Embiid, and they still cannot stop this man. He's a 275-pound version of a kid. So that's in the East. That's my MVP.
All right, Kendrick, let's hold on. Kendrick, your phone goes in and out. We're going to call you right back just to see if we might get a better line right here. That's Kendrick Perkins of ESPN, because he's saying many important, interesting things that, like, for instance, he's a 275-pound what?
Yeah, right. I missed out on that.
Did he say Akeem Olajuwon? Was that Akeem?
It could have been. I mean, yeah. Who would you say he's the closest thing that you've seen to an Akeem?
Well, he's got a ton of moves, man. And he gets to the line and he makes his free throws.
Makes the foul.
The number of times that I say to my kids, like, look how many times he gets to the line. You know what I mean? And look, and he makes his free throws. Too clear of the Nets, who get Harden back tonight. Look at the Hawks, the Heat, and the Knicks all at 38 and 31. And the difference between playing the Bucks, Nets, and Sixers might be a huge difference.
A huge difference.
Right? Your Celtics are literally falling apart.
It's over. We're going to lose in the playing game to Charlotte and then lose to the Wizards, and that's a wrap.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Is that Kemba Walker versus Charlotte to start that one off right there?
I mean, it'll be entertaining, but I don't expect us to win.
So you'll lose to the Hornets and lose to the Wizards and then just go into that good night.
Go into the good night. So well. That's my prediction.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Kendrick? You there?
Hey, fellas, sorry about that. Y'all know I'm living in, right now I've been living in the hotel room since the ice storm hit, because it messed up my home. So sometimes the signal go in and out.
Okay.
In this hotel room. But I'm right back.
You like sound great. Well, the thing that caused me to say, let's call Kendrick back, is you said Embiid is a 275-pound version of, and then you went out. So pick that one up.
Of Akeem Olajuwon.
That's it.
Yeah, of Akeem Olajuwon. I mean, look at his footwork, everything about him. I mean, the soft touch, the turnarounds over both shoulders. I mean, obviously, Embiid expanded his game. He got the Euro steps, the in and outs. But, hey, if Akeem was playing in this game, I'm pretty sure he could do a Euro step as well. So that's who I think is the best player in my eyes in the Eastern Conference right now. No one can stop him.
Which team is under the radar for you going into the playoffs, Kendrick Perkins? And you could even include the one seed in the West. You know, the Suns seem to be getting more run than Utah because we're waiting, I guess, for Donovan Mitchell to come back and be healthy. I'll give you another option. You know, there's a team here in Los Angeles that gets under the radar every single day that they exist. What's the most under the radar team that you got right now entering the playoffs?
When I talk about under the radar, I want to talk about a team that no one is talking about, right? No one. And I'm not talking about the Lakers. I'm not talking about the Clippers. I'm not talking about the Knicks, or the Nets, or the Philly, or even Miami. Can we talk about the Atlanta Hawks for a second?
Do it.
Let's talk about Atlanta Hawks, right? Candidate for Coach of the Year, Nate McMillan, has done a great job. Trae Young has been flying under the radar. I don't know how, because he's been putting up monster numbers scoring-wise and dropping assists. And then you look at John Collins, who should be a candidate right under Julius Randle for most improved. Clint Capella has arguably been the best defensive center probably right after Rudy Gobert as far as his impact on the game. They have shooting in Bogdanović. They have bench scoring in Gallinari and Lou Will. And it's just like they have the makeup, and they're winning games, and they're steady flying under the radar, and everyone is taking this team for granted. Everyone is saying, oh, well, we can't wait to get the Hawks in the first-round matchup. Like, the Hawks are no pushover. They're in the middle of the pack of the Eastern Conference for a reason.
So, Kendrick Perkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now that you're part of the paparazzi, have you pissed off anybody that you know or consider a friend in the league based on what you've said? Because you pull no punches, Kendrick.
Oh, yeah, I piss them off all the time. But you know what we do? But see, let me tell y'all something, okay?
Yes.
Let me address this situation.
Please.
The same Kendrick Perkins that you hear talking right now, or that you may hear saying something on television about someone, is the same Kendrick Perkins they knew that I would say the same thing in the locker room. Like, so guys know that the things that the perk that they see now is the same perk that they saw for years, especially guys that I shared the floor with, right, that I played on the same team with. So all those guys know stuff. I get text messages and be like, Perk, you crazy for that statement. Then we'll call each other, we'll argue for a minute, then we'll hang up, but we're still friends. But you know the thing that I love is that all the guys that I play with, all the guys that I call my brothers that are still in the NBA, even Kevin Durant, right, that's still my brother. Me and KD still talk. And they all know that I have a job to do, right? And they know I'm not going to be biased. I'm going to call it like I see it. If they play bad, I'm going to say it, but I'm going to be the first to give them their flowers as well. So we have that understanding.
But you do get texts of people saying what, and then you have a conversation. You hash it out. Like, that has happened.
Yeah, they text me and then I call them. I don't call them pissed off. I call them trying to laugh it off a little bit.
Is that the flowers as well? That's the flowers?
I mean, you know, and look, they get understanding from where I'm coming from, and we just talk about it. You know, I'd rather not say, but I get text messages in there.
But you and Durant, you're good. Everybody's good. You're good with everybody going to the playoffs,
I'm good. They know. Hey man, look, like I tell them, I'm the same perk y'all been knowing. I'm just on the other side. I'm in the media, and y'all know I'm watching the game. I may be wrong 20% of the time, but I'm right 80% of the time.
Good percentage of this biz.
Was that better than your free throw shooting? What percentage was that? Were you 80% from the line?
My free throw shooting was probably about 60%.
Oh, man. Look, I know we just met, Kendrick, but how do I get invited to Paul Pierce's Shabbat dinner? How do I do that?
You don't want to do that.
No.
You don't want to do that. Hey, Rich, look, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And if we do get invited, we want to make sure that all phones confiscated at the front door.
But I got to make sure I tell my wife that everything's fine, you know, unless she's watching. She could be watching it live. You never know, you know. Oh, my gosh. That was something else, man. It was. So your championship years, do you think you could have won more at the time, those championship years, Kendrick Perkins, another one, more than just the 08? Where do you stand on that subject?
I do. I think in 2010, we would have beat the Lakers if I wouldn't have gotten injured. Just remember, right, when healthy, our starting five never lost the playoff series. So, you know, we had one game, and we had to win one game out of two, and I figured we was going to get the job done if I would have played. Just think about it. We was up 14 points in game seven going into the fourth quarter, and they just out-rebounded us. KG was worn down from banging with Bynum and Gasol, and that's what I would have took the load off of them. So I know for sure I would have had two rings up under my in my trophy case.
So do you think, Doc, what has he brought to Philly, Kendrick, that clearly, you know, he was trying to put together here in Los Angeles? And in Philadelphia, we all know what their troubles were over the last couple of years. What do you think he's brought to this equation?
Doc is great with personalities. Doc is great with chemistry. If you're a guy that want to be bought in, and if you're a guy that want to be held accountable. So this was a perfect situation. You have two guys, young guys, that in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, that look up to Doc and value Doc. That's the first step, right? Mm-hmm. And then Doc is great at putting guys in position to be successful. That's why we see Joel Embiid doing what he do, because Doc is saying, no, Joel, you don't have to just go on the block. If you want to bring it up, if you want to do in-and-out crossovers, however you want to get into your offensive bag, go ahead and be yourself. Ben Simmons, you don't have to shoot a jumper. If you want to be a facilitator and lead the league in assisted three-point shots, then do that. Be the best version of Ben. And when you get a coach that buys in and appreciate what you do and not try to make you into something you're not, then you get the results that the Philadelphia 76ers are getting right now. Just remember, Tobias Harris had his best year under Doc Rivers before Philadelphia with the Clippers. He's having another great year right now. Dwight Howard is playing exceptionally well. And then you add their defensive coach, Jaeger, from Memphis, that was in Memphis when they was going through the grind. You remember with Tony Allen and all them. They had one of the best defensive teams in the league. He's over the defense. So it's no secret why they're great offensively and they're great defensively, because Doc has that Tom Thibodeau, Doc Rivers relationship that he had in Boston. It's the chemistry.
Kendrick, I appreciate the time. Let's do this more. I really appreciate you calling in. Like I said, I've really enjoyed watching you on ESPN and your ability to dissect something and then also weave in your own personal experience. It's not easy to do transitioning from the court or the field to a microphone or a studio. I really enjoy watching. My youngest son is a diehard Celtic fan, so I'm seeing a lot of your work that you do for that as well. And so I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you. And look, anytime, have me on. I'm a huge fan. And I know I talk slow and country at times, but y'all get what I be saying.
No,
I'm just saying.
I've picked up everything that you've put down, Kendrick Perkins. Everything.
I appreciate it.
Okay, the ESPN Hoop Streams co-host and also analyst on The Jump and so much more, Kendrick Perkins, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Perk.
It's so funny when I said, do you think you could have won more, you know, in your times in Boston? You know, who kept chiming in my ear?
Oh, yeah. Boston super fan.
By the way, he's saying I got hurt. He's like, yeah, it was game six.
Yeah, Perk's not lying, though.
Perk's not lying. Kevin Garnett gets hurt in 2009 with like three quarters of the season away. That team was better than the 08 team. And then in 2010, Perk goes down in game six of the NBA Finals. And then in game seven, he's not joking. Pau Gasol had 20 rebounds, should have been MVP of that series. Kobe shoots 4 for 26 in game seven. Celtics blew a 14-point lead. I watched it with Mike Del Tufo. It was the first time I ever met Del Tufo.
Get out of here.
The first time
he accuses you of being the cooler.
The first time I ever met Del Tufo, I was with Wirtz and Giant, and we went to this sports bar in Santa Monica. There was a really long line. Del Tufo was already inside and got us in, past the long line, in the velvet rope. First time I ever met Mike was game seven. I watched that in a bar full of Lakers fans. I am ready to celebrate like crazy because I assumed with the 14-point lead we were winning that, and the Lakers came all the way back. That was when Ron Artest hit the huge three-pointer. Yeah. Thanked his psychiatrist in the post-game press conference.
Kobe never passes to me, and he passed the ball to me.
Oh, man. I had just moved to L.A. that year. It was not a good day.
I feel you, bro.
But
was
the bright side was on all of that is you got to meet Mike Del Tufo. Yep.
And your life was
You're lucky
same.
That he's not here right now, because right now he would be crowing about the fact.
Well, yeah, I know people, and I got you in the bar.
That
was a
he got you into a bar.
Definitely got us in the bar.
But that is day. Also Mike Del Tufo at his finest, where yep. he's, I'll do what I can.
He is.
He doesn't know you from Adam. He does love Giant, who you referred to, Andy Gregg, producer, Chris Wirtz, producer at NFL Network.
Yep.
Doesn't know you from Adam, but gets you in, even though he despises Boston sports. Yep. Wow. And he accuses you of being, there it is, there's the backstage pass, the Mike Del Tufo experience.
First time I ever met Mike.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, he's back tomorrow. We'll ask him his perspective on all of that.
Man.
But
completely different story.
At least you at least you got a fuzzy memory about the details of the loss. My God. Yeah.
I was in Big Wang's in North Hollywood watching that. And you know I'm not a Laker fan. Of course, the entire bar is filled with Laker fans. And there's about 13 seconds left. Everyone's jumping up and down. I snuck out of the bar. Like, I'm getting text messages. Where'd you go? I left. I was like, I can't be here to watch this celebration.
That was painful.
Man, that's coming up on 10 years, or is it 2010, 2011, 2010?
It was 9-10 season.
9-10
yeah.
season. Yeah. Wow, 11 years.
Crazy.
That's an 11-year. And then the next year, your world opens up when you get hooked up with the Rich Eisen podcast, television show. When NFL Network comes to me and says, hey, there's a lockout going on. We really need cheap programming on TV. Would you mind televising your podcast? And I said, on one condition, you call it inexpensive programming.
Not cheap.
Not cheap.
Yes.
I thought that's you were going to say, I thought you were going to say your caveat was
no.
Brockman.
Lawrence Randall of NFL Network programming department calls me into his office and he goes, love your podcast, listen to it all the time.
Let's film it.
Would you want to televise it? Nobody was televising podcasts, period.
How long were you guys doing it at that point?
I was doing it for just a few weeks and months.
It had been a few months.
That's
it. And then the TV started after.
Again, I started, this show was born out of me going into Steve Bornstein, my boss smart enough to have hired me twice, and saying, I want to do a podcast. You know?
You were ahead of the curve on that.
Well, Bill Simmons was ahead of the curve.
Yes. Yeah,
so I saw what Bill Simmons was doing, and I'm like, I could do a podcast, and let me do one for the NFL Network. The NFL media group wasn't even born yet. And I remember Bornstein was looking at me. He doesn't know much from podcasts. So he says to me, how much is it going to cost me? And I said, nothing. He goes, fine, do it. That was it. Told nobody what so I was on my own to basically say, I need a studio. I need this. I need that. Everyone's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm starting a podcast.
Yeah.
And so, you
here
know,
we are.
And then Brockman was the producer of the television version of it. And then he started coming on, and now look at him. He's a father and everything. But still, when it all comes down to it, I had no idea that he was still licking the wounds of that big-time loss. You were in my ear. Yeah, 2009 team was better. 2010, we should have done it.
Yeah.
As I'm talking to Kendrick Perkins, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Urban Meyer has spoken about Tim Tebow, and he did it on a Chris Collinsworth podcast. That's next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it and you could check in with this app. And other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it. And in theory, basically, it would keep you, you know, people knowing what's happening to you.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
You'd, a subscription per month.
Well, people are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap. $12 a year.
Okay, so here's a scenario.
Yep.
Like you're in your apartment. You die. Don't you think the neighbors are going to smell your rotting corpse?
Oh, no. There was actually a person in Santa Monica that sat for 8 days, two buildings down from me, before people knew that that person was dead.
That's the worst idea. Not only does this have zero merit, I mean, the chance that people actually want to contemplate their mortality and pay 99 cents a month doing it is crazy. Think about it. If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
But in theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check
in?
When you're dead, you're dead.
Like, who cares?
But just in case.
No, I won't care. There'll be a new guy.
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not dead.
The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother is in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, you know the kid. Well,
if you think you're, if you're worried
if
your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well,
call
let's
your
say,
mother, Mike. Call
let's,
your mother.
Let's just assume that you're not going to call. People don't call their mother and father live 2,500 miles away
Mom,
every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
you
dies.
You can check in. You know that they've actually. Exactly.
Thank you, Mike.
So she logs on and says, I'm dying.
Oh, like, man.
Are you, like, you know, Mike, horrifically bad. Really bad. Really bad.
I tried.
I mean, that is a professional eviscerator.
Yes.
He does Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Oh, my word. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. The reason why I asked Kendrick Perkins about, you know, do you hear from players who are upset about what you're saying is a lot of players don't appreciate it when one of their colleagues goes into the paparazzi and starts truth-telling. You know, and it's good on Kendrick Perkins that he calls them up and hashes them out because, you know, the people think that breaks a code. But as he said, he understands and they should understand that there's a job to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of players don't do that when they come off the court or go on the field. They kind of put a little hitch in their giddy up. And it doesn't serve anybody right. Doesn't serve the viewer, doesn't serve the analyst, it doesn't serve the network, it doesn't serve anybody. So hopefully that'll be the first of many many appearances for Kendrick here as we go through the playoff season. Because I'd love to get his perspective. I love it. So Urban Meyer was on the NFL Draft Live Saturday late seventh round coverage because they were done in the Jacksonville draft room. They were done with their draft. He joins. And I asked him about Tim Tebow at the end, and he said that they were going to get around to it, essentially. Had no idea that they already worked him out, as confirmed by Urban Meyer on Chris Collinsworth's podcast with Richard Sherman. Here's the exchange that they had when Chris asked him about the possibility of bringing Tim Tebow onto the team and giving him a shot at making the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2021.
Yeah, we have not signed Tim. There's a thought going around. You know, he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. And they came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. And I said, then I went another time and watched him try him out. And they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. And they come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
I'm all in on it. Again, I don't understand the Tebow hate. I don't understand it. It is, in my mind, not apples to apples at all to Colin Kaepernick not getting a shot in the NFL, as he should. As he should. You'd have to wonder if Jim Harbaugh was a coach in the NFL with, you know, years of success and a front office support, if Colin Kaepernick would have had his shot already, right? If his college coach was an NFL head coach with a ton of support from the front office, like Urban Meyer clearly has in Jacksonville, would Colin have gotten the opportunity? It's not even the same thing. Tebow's not being tried out for quarterback. He is giving an opportunity for a tight end spot in the NFL, and it's a long shot. And to me, I hope it happens. I hope it happens because it'll be something of interest. Trust me, that opening game, Jacksonville at Houston, would be that much more interesting if Trevor Lawrence has Tim Tebow to throw to. You will be definitely tuning into that game, regardless of the fact if it's Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills, who we're assuming will be the options for the Texans in week one, not Deshaun Watson. And it will be the prism by which, Urban doesn't care, but it will be the prism by which Urban's first few weeks and months, if not full year, in the NFL will be measured. The fact that he's bringing on an old college buddy of his into the NFL and giving him a shot after not playing for, what is it again, 9 years, Chris, right? It's nine years between snaps.
I mean, 1,000 plus days.
I mean, that's quite a hiatus. 9 years between snaps and bringing him in just like, you know, hey, let's bring him on, let's give him a shot. Let's give him a scholarship. It'll be viewed as Urban doesn't know how the NFL works. And if Tebow works out for Trevor Lawrence and proves to be a non-story, which I think it will be, certainly on the front of a failure. I mean, if it doesn't work out, it's not like it costs them draft choices or money or anything like that. And if it works out, then it'll be like, boy, Urban's doing it the way he wants to do it. This will be the prism by which it's measured. Because Trevor Lawrence, unless Trevor gets totally regressed and looks something that he's never looked like, which I don't think will ever happen.
Unlikely.
Right. This will be the one. This one right here. Oh, yeah, Urban. Certainly if he doesn't make the team. Good luck, 2021. Then they'll play football games. We'll forget about it.
Yep.
But if he plays football games and he does well, oh, Urban's doing it his way, isn't he? Jacksonville was smart to just give him the whole story. He saw something in Tebow. Tebow is leading the locker room for Urban's culture. But if he does get there and he doesn't deserve it and he doesn't play well and he's still there, then as Bomani Jones said yesterday, he'll come across like Urban snitch in the locker room. And how's that work? All of it is just filled with intrigue about how we're going to view Urban and Tim Tebow and the NFL and all of them. I am here for it. I am having a front. I'll be, to use the Tony Bennett song phrase, I'll be applauding from a front row seat.
Hard knocks.
That's where I believe. That's
Let's
where,
go.
I know you're saying that.
Hard
I mean,
knocks.
I don't know. I think the front office would be all for it. Because they know it's all about branding here. Mm-hmm. But Urban might be like, yeah, that's not happening. You want that, don't you?
In the worst way.
I know. I'm sure NFL Films would too. Chris Jericho, hour number three. He knows the Khan family very well. Coming up.
Hold on, let me see.
How about that soundbite? Yeah, we worked him out, and I wasn't there, of course. It's just everybody telling me, you know, how great he looks, and I'm like, you got to. I'm telling you, he's one of the greatest competitors I've ever known. Oh, baby, that would be great. But how about? I honestly, the anger that came from it, from football players and who think he doesn't deserve an opportunity. I guess he is denying an opportunity to some undrafted free agent that's younger and on an ups and needs the opportunity, I guess. But that undrafted free agent who needs the opportunity on the upswing doesn't have a history with this coach. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You know, it's all about who's in charge and the opportunity that it's given to you, if you merit it or not. I don't know if I, you know, obviously I was on ESPN, but if Steve Bornstein wasn't the guy putting NFL Network together, would I have been his first choice to be NFL Network's host? He knew me. He knew my work. He knew my work ethic. Yeah. He knew I wasn't an a-hole and I wasn't going to make him get phone calls at 2:30 in the morning because I was hooting with the owls or doing anything stupid. No. You know what I mean? He knew my wife just as well as he knew me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it seems kind of unlikely, maybe.
I think that's what it boils
down
to.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand people's anger. Or, yeah. I can't say anger. I understand why it's become a conversation. But nepotism is a real thing. You know, it really is. And because of the coach, that's the reason he got the shot. And I think we all kind of have to understand
that. Yeah, well, the phrase we've heard our whole lives. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Like, do I deserve to be in this chair? I don't know, but you took a liking to me and put me here, right? So even though this guy on YouTube said I had the personality of a fish, like, you saw something and you put me here. So
TJ's been reading the comments lately
all morning.
So what I'm saying is,
I know it's your job to read that sort of stuff, but just come on.
It's not his job to read the comments, though.
By the way, I think fish have great personality. I had fish as a kid in my room. I had a fish, I had a turtle.
Rich, you watch Ted Lasso. You know the shortest memory span is a goldfish.
It's a goldfish, yeah.
Right. So.
What does that mean? What video was that associated to, that comment?
You know, let's not even say
which
one
video
it is.
Was it associated?
I'll tell you once we go to break. You know, I don't want people to go watch it and then pile on. And then,
Oh, my God. And don't read the comments.
Yeah, don't read the comments, bro.
I'm not upset. Right. I'm just using it.
Well done.
They call him Flipper.
Hour three coming up.